I would like to start by saying that our farmers can generally point to at least one safety net program included in the 2008 Farm Bill that they utilize on their farm. Although it does depend on what kind of farmer you talk to and in what part of the country they farm as to what portions of the Farm Bill producers find most useful. Most farmers, though, in most states rely in some way on the safety net provided in the 2008 Farm Bill. That said, we know we will face many challenges in writing the 2012 Farm Bill, including the budget environment and the need to balance the interests of a multitude of players. At Farm Bureau, we have just started the process of evaluating the programs in the 2008 Farm Bill, grappling with budget constraints, and considering future policy recommendations. We are not here today to present to this committee a proposal for the 2012 Farm Bill, but we have outlined five general principles that we will follow when we develop and evaluate our future proposals. One, the options we support will be fiscally responsible. Two, the basic funding structure of the 2008 Farm Bill will not be altered. In other words, money will not be shifted from one title of the Farm Bill to another. Three, the proposals we support will aim to benefit all of the agricultural sectors. Four, world trade rulings will be considered. And five, consideration will be given to the stable business environment that is critical to success in agriculture. While our farmers are generally content with the safety net provided in the 2008 Farm Bill, it can sometimes feel like you're reading the old children's story, Goldilocks and the Three Bears. When you talk to individual farmers, some farmers think the safety net coverage provided under the 2008 Farm Bill is just right. But in other cases, and for other farmers, the coverage is sometimes too little. In a small number of cases, the coverage may even be duplicative and too much. Without fail, farmers that farm different crops in different parts of the country rely most heavily on different pieces of the safety net. And the complexity of the interactions between the commodity program safety nets and crop insurance can probably best be illustrated by looking at two state examples. A farmer in Illinois might have a multitude of layers of protection for both price and yield risk exposure, first through the acre program, then through buy-up crop insurance, and then through the SURE program. In fact, Illinois has some of the highest levels of acre participation. 26,000 out of the 134,000 farmers in the U.S. Reside in Illinois that have signed up for the acre program. That's about 17%. Buy-up crop insurance coverage is the norm. About 95% of Illinois farmers have buy-up crop insurance. And farmers in disaster and contiguous counties are expected to benefit from the SURE program. But these same programs might not provide a farmer in Mississippi with the same depth of safety net coverage. For example, ACRE has not proven to be a useful program in Mississippi for a variety of reasons. Only 165 out of the 22,435 farmers in Mississippi that could qualify have signed up for the program. Many farmers in the region, particularly cotton farmers, experienced very low prices in 2007 and 2008, which were the base years for setting the support level for ACRE. In Mississippi, the direct payment and marketing loan portions of the traditional safety net are critical, and the cuts required to participate in this portion of the safety net were too steep to attract farmers to ACRE, particularly when their bankers are more comfortable with the greater certainty of direct and marketing loan payments. The use of buy-up crop insurance is also not as prevalent in Mississippi as it is in the state of Illinois. Only 41% of the farmers have buy-up coverage in Mississippi. Again, there are a lot of reasons. A farmer in Mississippi might not purchase buy-up levels of crop insurance. In many cases, the availability of programs is not as robust, and sometimes coverage is prohibitively expensive. In other cases, the products offered simply do not align with the types of risks faced by Mississippi farmers. Without the purchase of buy-up crop insurance, the value of SURE as a disaster program is also minimized. Again, almost all of our farmers can find at least one component of the commodity title that works for their farm, but it depends on who you ask as to which programs work best and are utilized the most. Given the great deal of discussion that's already occurred regarding whole farm revenue programs, we would be remiss if we didn't at least briefly discuss our thoughts on this topic. Both the adjusted gross income crop insurance product and SURE provide us with case studies of whole farm revenue programs. And from those cases, we have determined potential problem areas to consider as future farm policy is designed. One, the complexity of such programs makes them unpopular. Two, such programs can be difficult for USDA to implement, which in turn delays payments to farmers. Three, including livestock in such programs adds an additional layer of complexity that can be cumbersome to overcome. And last, the paperwork and confidential information that can be required to sign up for a revenue program is daunting to farmers and often discourages participation. Having said that, we at American Farm Bureau are doing research and analysis on different provisions related to whole farm revenue insurance. In conclusion, we appreciate the hard work of this committee to provide America's farmers with a practical safety net that allows us to continue to produce the safest, most abundant, least expensive food supply in the world. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning. I look forward to questions.